Thank you. What does they say? If I don't fire you up, your wood's wet. Amen. Oh, wow. Good to see everybody here today. Thank you so much, youth. You brought it.
Yeah.
You brought it. And, you know, when they sing that song, and let me tell you about my Jesus, if we could be that excited about the Lord all the time.
I know, amen.
I know life ain't perfect. It ain't going to be. We just need to know that going in. But if we could understand how precious it is to be saved by the blood of Jesus and to have that relationship with Christ and what we have gained by being believers in Him, brothers and sisters in Jesus, joint heirs with Christ, we're an order of priests. I'm telling you, it's a good thing to know Jesus as your Savior. And I hope and pray today that you do. I hope that you are saved. If not, this will be a great day to get saved. Well, today we're going to look at time. Time changed today, didn't it? You know, and I thought, wow, I've got an extra hour then to get up and get ready. I still got here at the same time. I wasn't no earlier. Matter of fact, some of us was probably later than we normally are. Time change. But time change. And also I thought too this week about time, how time goes on. Time goes by. Time waits for no man, they say. And time is going on. Today is my youngest son, John David's birthday. He's 26. And today is my father's birthday. He is 81. Happy birthday, Pap. He should be watching us online there. So I thought about time and how, wow, to think about having my baby, you know, 26 years old, and how time goes by and how I'm getting older. And, you know, we just think about what are we doing with the time that we have? Are we making the most of the time that we have? Are we utilizing it for the kingdom of God? So today I'm going to look at a few different aspects of time, and I want us to get a hold of these things. But we're going to begin in a beautiful place. You know where we're going, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. There's even been songs written about it, so stand with me as we read the first 11 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Father, as we think about this passage of Scripture, and time is allotted for everything in our life, we pray, God, that you would help us, strengthen us to make our time useful to you and to glorify you in all that we do. God, forgive me of my sins and the many things that I do and disappoint you and fail you. I pray, God, that today that we could focus on your word. For the next few moments that we have, God, that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit, that your Spirit would have freedom to move among us today, that you would be glorified and lifted up in everything, God, as you already have been this morning. It's been great to be in the house of God today. And thank you, God, for our youth bringing it this morning and getting us excited about you, Jesus. We pray we carry that excitement in the rest of our lives. But speak to us today, God, about our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the times that we have in life, which I think is probably more common to most of us than not, more common probably to me than any other time, is wasting time. Do you ever waste time? Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5 say this, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What is it that I may know how frail I am? Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Salah. So he's already telling us that when he said a handbreadth, I had to look that up. I didn't really understand what a handbreadth was. There's varied, you know, beliefs on what it means. It's like the width of a hand. So in a sense, he's saying man's life is literally just a span of the width of your hand. It's in the course of, from the beginning to the end, our time here is literally nothing more than a vapor. We're gone as quick as we wave the hand, our life is over. I didn't think about that when I was 21. I didn't think about that when I was 30. Kind of thought about it when I was 40. Really started studying about it when I turned 50. I don't even know if I'm going to make it to 60 now. I'm falling apart. Everything you got hurts, you know. So we think about time and we think about wasting time, and how I wanted to bring that passage from Psalms out because of the importance of how quickly our time passes. The life that you and I have, I can look back and I have so many regrets. Do you? Do you have regrets? I don't know anybody that's alive that is truly honest with themselves and honest with God that doesn't have regrets. Because there are things that we've done in our life that we know I shouldn't have done that. There's so much wasted time. I thought, wouldn't it be good if we could go back and we could look at our life and the data of what time in our life was actually wasted. But I don't think I want to do that. Do you? Do you want to go back and see your life? And do you want to see how much time you wasted? Now, I know we can be productive and still have fun. I'm not saying that. People sometimes think they confuse what wasting time means. Well, I must be in constant prayer, or I must be in constant reading of the Word of God, or I must be constantly preaching or teaching. Now, we can be productive for the kingdom of God and still do things that are enjoyable for us to do. Wasting time is to have zero conscious of the Spirit of God and to not care what God's telling us we need to do. Wasting time is literally exactly that, is wasting time. I want to go back and read a couple of verses here to open up the book of Ecclesiastes, which is a very, if you've never studied the book of Ecclesiastes, go back and study it sometime. Do it. It's a great book. Because it kind of lets us know the heart of King Solomon. King Solomon was David's son, and he ruled and reigned after David had died, and God put it on Solomon. He said, David, I'm not going to let you build the temple. I'm going to let your son Solomon build the temple because I want a man of peace to be able to build it. So when Solomon became king, he was asked by the Lord. God said, what can I give you? I've got a blank check here. What do you want me to write down on this check? What do you want? And he said, I want to be a wise king to give wise counsel unto my people. And God, in response to that, said, wow, that's awesome. Because you've asked for that, rather than asking for riches or wealth, I'm going to give you exactly what you've asked for. I'm going to give you wisdom and knowledge above everybody else, but at the same time, I'm also going to give you great wealth because you didn't ask for it. But then when we get into the book of Ecclesiastes, you can be very wise and be very dumb at the same time. And we understand that when we look at Ecclesiastes. The first few verses of chapter 1, it said, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all of his labor which he taketh unto the sun? So Solomon is telling us, I have tried everything under the sun, and I can tell you everything is in vain, and everything that man does of his own accord is vanity and vexation of spirit. You look through here and you're going to find out he had a lot of wives. Was it 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000 different women? I don't even want to talk about that. I can't even go there. That's hard to even comprehend. But he had 1,000 basically different wives. And the problem with him, and the reason he's saying all this vanity, is because he would find somebody that he was attracted to, and he would want to bring him in to be his next wife. And not only would he bring the wife in, but he would also bring in her ungodly worship and pagan worship into his home. So he had 1,000 different wives, basically, probably up to hundreds and hundreds of different beliefs and pagan idols that were brought in. And so because he had the wife, he had to honor her belief to some degree. Even though he was wise in being good counsel to his people, his home life was a wreck. So he taught us we must be careful what we do with the time that we have. I think that's another reason why he put chapter 3 in there. He said, hey, there's a time for everything, and I've learned that I'm wasting my time. If you've been given great talents and great abilities by God, are we wasting those on ourselves, or are we utilizing them for the kingdom of God? So wasting time is something we need to be concerned about. The flip side of wasting time is redeeming time. We find in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 17, it says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, which is basically upright, walk uprightly, honorably, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The word redeem here basically means to improve or to rescue from loss. It means basically making the most of the time that you're given. I kind of hate it that we get older before we really appreciate the time that we have. If I could go back and talk to that 16-year-old kid when he was in high school, first thing I have to do is smack him around a little bit because he's not going to listen to me. Stubborn. Thinks he knows everything. You know that guy. I was that guy. I want to go back and smack him a little bit. I want to get his attention. I want to tell him, buddy, listen, time is precious. You don't understand that now. But one day when most of your time is gone, you're going to realize how important it was. You're going to regret not doing those things that you need to do. You're going to regret wasting the time and the life that God has blessed you with. Do we understand that every breath that we take is in the palm of God's hand?
Amen.
He controls every breath that we have. It's He that keeps the heart pumping. It's He that keeps us alive. It's He that allows us to function and to reason and to be given these abilities. We need to utilize those for the kingdom of God. I'm not saying we need to be in the church 24/7, but I'm saying we need to make the most of every moment that we have. You got to get up and go to work? Get up and go to work, but do it for the glory of God. Do it for the kingdom of God. Make every moment a moment where you can live for Jesus. If you're on vacation, be on vacation for Jesus. If you're at a ball game, be on a ball game for Jesus. Whatever we're doing, whatever opportunity we have, whatever surroundings we find ourselves in, make the most of that time. And I'll tell you what God's going to do. God's going to speak to you. And he's going to say, I want you to talk to this person. I want you to go over here and sit beside that person. I want you to get to know them. I want you to reach out and ask them about their relationship with Christ. I want you to invite that person to church. I want you to ask that waiter or waitress that's serving you and exhausted, is there anything I can pray for you about while we're blessing our food? I want you to reach out and minister to people. I want you to make the most. Making the most of your time doesn't mean we all have to surrender to a call to preach and stand behind a pulpit. No, it's making use of the days you have for the kingdom of God, whatever that means between you and Him. If it means preaching, preach. If it just means sitting down and praying, you sit down and pray. I already have plenty of regrets, but I don't want to get to the end of my life and have more. I want to learn to make the most of my time. I want to learn to redeem the time that I have for God. Next, we look at man's time. There's a difference. Man's time in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. And this is a familiar passage of Scripture because we read it last week when we were talking about King Saul. But it fits so perfectly here, and I want to read it again. It said, he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal. And the people were scattered from him, and Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offerings. Man's time. Man's time is when we do things according to what we think is right and contrary to what God knows is right. We talked about this last week that King Saul decided, I'm just going to go ahead and make the offering because Samuel hadn't showed up yet. As soon as he made the sacrifice, we know what happened. Spoiler alert, Samuel showed up as soon as he made the sacrifice and said, what is going on? What have you done? Man's time is when we think and take things in our own context and we say, well, there's no way this to be done the way God says. I've got to do it my way. Abraham and Sarah were told by God that they're going to have a child. What did they do? They said, well, we're so old, we can't have kids. Bring in your young concubine, bring in Hagar and let her mother a child for you, Abraham. That's what we do. That's man's time. When we think outside of what God tells us because we think we're so much smarter than God. I don't really think I'm smarter than God. No, but our actions prove otherwise. When I disobey God and do what I feel like I want to do, instead of what God's telling me to do, then I'm believing I know better than God. You know, it's funny as kids, talking about that 16-year-old kid that I was when I was 16, you know, we think our parents are idiots and we don't think they know anything. We're so smart. We're so alert to the world. I know everything there is to know because now I've got my license and I can drive. I know everything I need to know about life. Mom, Dad, you can't really tell me a whole lot. Hey, I get it. Yeah. Then when we turn about 21, 22, 23, and reality starts checking in, I realize in 4 or 5 years how much my parents have learned because they're so much smarter than the things they're saying. Yeah, we get stubborn. And we want to do things our way instead of God's way. Man's time is the problem. We got to think outside of what we think is right. And we got to start trusting what God knows is right. And we got to lean on Him and trust and believe in Him. The next is God's time. Psalm 27 and verse 14. He says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. There is a perfect time, and it's called God's time. There's a wrong time, and it's called man's time. There's a perfect time, and it's called God's time. God's timing is perfect. Now, I know when we did our study of the 7 miracles in the Gospel of John that Jesus performed before He died on the cross at Calvary, one of them was about opening the eyes of a man who had been blind his entire life. And it was He was called a man, so he was an adult at the time. He was an adult male. And Jesus was asked by his disciples, who sinned that this man was born blind? And Jesus said, neither sinned, but that the glory of God might be seen, because Jesus knew he was going to open the eyes of the blind man. And when he opened the blind man, then all the people were going to see that Jesus was God. He was the Messiah. He's the Son of God. So I thought about that, and I thought about the timing of God and how God's time is perfect. This man was blind 30 years, 25. I don't know how old the guy was, but let's say he was about 25 years old. This man was blind and suffered blindness for 25 plus years for the glory of God. Just because we're children of God and because we love Jesus doesn't mean we will not suffer in life for the glory of God to be seen. That's why it's difficult at times for us to trust God's time, and we want to choose and trust our own time. We may suffer, because when we suffer, think about it. When everything's going great in your life, it's hard to see the glory of God, isn't it? I mean, we'll sure lift a hand and pray, praise God, I got that big fat check in. Praise God, everything's paid off. Praise the Lord, everything's going well. Nobody's sick right now. I mean, but it's difficult for us to really just see God working a lot of times until we get down and we get low, and perhaps we're maybe even suffering tribulation. Jesus even said at that point about Lazarus dying, I'm glad I wasn't there. Jesus wanted Lazarus to die. That's not very nice, is it? He said, I'm glad I wasn't there, because he knew if he'd been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But because Lazarus died, Jesus knew that when he came, he's going to raise him from the dead. And so everybody's going to see that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ. Lazarus had to suffer physical death for the glory of God. God's time is different than ours. But the thing about God's time is this: God's time is perfect. And we've got to trust and believe in that. We think we know the answers. We think we have the schedule. We think we have the plan. God does have the plan, and God does have the answers, and God does know the way. And the last one I want to bring up today is our time. We're here today. We're here alive. We're breathing. Well, I don't know. Is everybody breathing? You might check a pulse. A couple of you look like I'm about to lose you. We're here, we're alive, we're breathing. Some of us are conscious, some of us are alert, and what we need to understand is this is our time. This is our day, this is our moment. We can't look to the generation before us. We can't just hope for the generation after us if there is one. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. But what we have is this moment, and this is our time. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 2 says this: Moses, my servant, is dead. God's speaking to Joshua, and he says, now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. This is our moment. When Jesus called those disciples and set them aside, and that day of Pentecost, when Jesus had gone up and ascended and the Spirit came down and filled them, they stood up and they preached the Word of God, and everybody heard the gospel in their own language, and thousands were saved that day. After that, thousands more were saved. People coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that was their day, and they took advantage of their day. They took advantage of the time that God had given them. All through history, we see, and through the Bible, people were called out to step up and to make themselves known as being a child of God. Today is our time. You got to choose today and right now. Am I going to be counted as a child of God? Am I going to be counted as a believer in Jesus Christ? Do I choose to stand on this mountain and say, yes, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm gonna die knowing that I'm going to do everything I can to let people know about Jesus? It's our time. It's your time. Well, you might be here and say, preacher, I'm not even a Christian. Well, then guess what? This is your time too.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Because if you're here today and you're lost and you've never been saved, Jesus Christ died on a cross for you. Did he die for everybody else? He sure did. But for you, most importantly, he died for you. He paid all of your sin debt. Your sin can be wiped clean. All the sins you've ever committed, all that you're ever going to commit, can be wiped clean today. Jesus paid your debt. And he knows that you're lost. He knows that you're undone. And he wants to come into your heart to save you and to forgive you and to cleanse you. He wants to be your Lord. Today is your day to acknowledge that. Acknowledge you're lost. Acknowledge you have need of salvation. Acknowledge that Jesus Christ can and will save you, and ask him to come in your heart and be your Savior today. Today's your time, regardless of what's going on in your life. This is our time. Let's choose to use our time wisely. Stand with us as we have an invitation prayer. Father, we come to you today. This is our time. This is our day. This is our moment. We can't go back and change our past, but we can surely affect today and this moment, and we can affect our future. I pray today, God, that we acknowledge the importance of the moment that we're in, that we don't allow ourselves to be sidetracked with other thoughts that may come into our mind, but that today and right now, in this moment, God, we concentrate on our relationship to you. Those that are unsaved, undone without you, we pray that today they'd surrender to you, Jesus. Pray today, God, those that are saved, that we would give our lives to you today and every day, that we would commit ourselves to you to be consistently faithful, and we would honor your time, God, over our time. Have your way, Jesus. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.